This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. We're rebroadcasting a show that looked at the state of Hawaii's roads. It first aired last November. No calls will be taken this hour. My guests in studio were Ross Asamora, Department of Facilities Maintenance Director and Chief Engineer, and Ed Sniffen, Administrator for the State Department of Transportation's Highways Division. Honolulu was ranked fifth worst in the nation for poor roads and highways by TRIP, a national transportation research group. I asked Ross and Ed if they agreed with the ranking, and Ross was the first to respond.
I don't agree with it, primarily because of the investment that the city and county of Honolulu has made over the past 6 years since Mayor Caldwell took office, roughly $600 million, actually rehabilitating, repaving about 2,000 lane miles of city streets.
And Ed?
I agree with Ross, and I don't agree with it. Looking at the data, they're looking at 2016 data that just takes one component of the rating system that Federal Highways requires of us. They looked at the federal aid system that we have, looking at that time, and they didn't take into account the 365 lane miles that we put in since that time frame for improvement.
So where do you think we adjust to if we used
Not sure. But definitely we're pushing very hard to make sure that we don't come in at the bottom anymore.
Okay. And now the mayor did hold a news conference recently to talk about kind of the snapshot of where we're at. Let's take a listen.
One of our priorities, our commitment, was to repave our long neglected city streets. We haven't deviated from that priority, ran for re-election on it, and have stayed the course. Committing to pave at least 300 lane miles every year, spending about $150 million a year to repave streets that have been neglected in some cases for 30, 40, 50 years. Small streets like this, not ones that everyone drives on every day, but neighborhood streets where people feel we are not being treated fairly.
And Ross, you know, I know that we've got lots of different types of neighborhoods. You've got older ones and the newer ones, but even some of the newer ones have issues. Out in Kapolei, I know that there's a number of roads there, and I think that's being worked on. There was a dispute about whether those roads were transferred over properly, I think, from the state to the city. But I think maybe listeners might want to know, where do you folks drive in from? What kinds of roads do you encounter on your way into work?
Sure. Well, I live in Palolo. A lot of my meetings and other work that I have in town keep me from my office. But my office is actually in Kapolei Hale. So I do spend some time driving on freeways as well as city streets. I do travel Barataria Street rather heavily, as I do King Street, North and South King. And one of the things that's important to note is that while there are still many streets for us to address, we haven't stopped repaving. So the effort is ongoing. As Mayor had stated part of his interview, his campaign platform was based on infrastructure, rehabilitation, or reconstruction. His initial goal was 300 lane miles per year. We're finishing up the sixth year of his mayoral term. And with that, we've already exceeded 2,000 lane miles. So we're working ahead of schedule, but we're not letting up, and we're going to continue that effort.
And Ed?
So I come in from, I live up Kahumanu Street, go down past Komomai and Kahumanu, where the city just did an excellent job of repaving that area, but also restructuring that intersection to make it more usable for everybody there. Jump on the freeway there. So I go through the H1 corridor from the Waimalu to Pearl City area. I go on the airport side and then Nimitz to my office in Punch Bowl.
Okay, so you cover some ground. You know the problems that all of us, the potholes that we come across.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and so does everybody in our departments. One thing that I wanted to make sure that everybody understands is we're not just DOT employees or DFM employees. We're also community members first. So all of our employees live through the community, work through the community, and are committed members.
Okay, and you know, we did discuss having a show like this about this very issue because we saw a op-ed in the newspaper. Civil engineer with the University of Hawaii, Professor Amarjit Singh, he wrote that article expressing his frustration with the condition of our roads. Let's take a listen.
You know, our city and county roads have been among the bottom five in the country for the last 30 years. You would think that our decision makers would have learned since then and done something about it, no? But they haven't. How come? Why not? Why does it take 30 years?
Now, he is an advocate of using concrete. He thinks that it lasts longer, and time has come that we need to kind of turn the corner on what we do going forward. What do you think about that?
Well, Catherine, I think concrete is certainly one of the pavement solutions that we look at from time to time, but it is not necessarily the panacea or the cure for all of pavement ills. It does wear a little bit more durably than asphalt does. But we have to understand, too, that asphalt has its place. Asphalt is a material that has been depended on for quite a number of years, over a number of decades. And asphalt actually is more recyclable than concrete is. And I think some of the industry experts will tell you that it's over 99% recyclable, where with concrete, it's not as easy to grind up the material and reuse it again to make new concrete, primarily because you have other materials in there like steel that would create some issues with spalling and other problems down the road. But asphalt itself is something that we depend on and something that we recycle to save the resources that we have here.
So being an island state, then we can just reuse this material and it's a plus.
That's correct, because it is a finite material and we don't want to have to import gravel or aggregate to make roads. But we do have a lot of roads that we're reconstructing, and there's a lot of recycled asphalt material that gets ground up and reused.
Okay. I know Professor Singh also had some concerns about how long we will have available a byproduct, I think, of petroleum that is used as an aggregate in asphalt. Let's take a listen.
The excessive rainfall we have here in our islands really breaks down the bitumen aggregate much faster than any breakdown of cement aggregate. In fact, cement hardens and becomes better and stronger with water and rainfall, but bitumen breaks down. So, in fact, it's the wrong thing to use on our islands, wrong material. The main issue facing asphalt is this oil crisis that's going to hit everybody in the world. We are just a few years away from falling off the cliff. Hawaii will be the most vulnerable, not just for energy, but also for its asphalt roads. And though some say the oil in the world will last 20 years, some say 30 years, the volatility will be experienced long before that. So the volatility can be expected to be experienced starting 10 years from now. You know, it's uncertain, but it can really come soon. And when that volatility comes, Catherine, there's going to be trouble getting bitumen, which is the major ingredient of asphalt.
So I don't know. Do you agree with that?
Well, I would say that we do want to try to wean ourselves from petroleum-based products. And asphalt roads are the result of the use of petroleum. And one of the things that we also have to understand is that there's a lot of research taking place across the country with respect to other binders that can be used to not only replace the oil-based asphalt, but also find ways to stretch out the supply a little bit longer. One of the things that's important to understand is the situation that Dr. Singh is referring to actually is the weathering of roads. And the fact that we have very good weather here in Hawaii, we're at the point where we receive a lot of ultraviolet radiation, and the same kinds of things that would age paint on a house or age paint on a car will age pavement on roads. And so roads largely are exposed to sunlight, and we've been actually the beneficiary of a lot of research. Another professor from the University of Hawaii School of Engineering performed some weathering tests on pavement preservation products on city roads that is actually being studied for use across the nation. Because we have so much sun here, we're able to work with national pavement associations to provide data on weathering of pavement surfaces that will actually be used to help produce new products that can make roads more weather resistant. And I'll have to say too, at the same time, while Dr. Singh talks about the weatherability of concrete, one of the things that makes concrete a difficult material to use is when you have reinforced concrete, which is necessary for structural applications like roads and streets. Normally, you have steel in the concrete to provide some reinforcement. And when steel actually starts to receive some of the moisture that passes through the concrete, it'll start to spall and crack. And so we've seen some of those kinds of damages in structures and buildings around Honolulu, where perhaps even railings on buildings have been compromised. And so it's not the catch-all, end-all for all of the ills that we've seen on pavements.
Exactly. Okay. And a couple of things that to point out, Dr. Singh's analysis is irrespective of budget. It doesn't take into account that concrete is a more expensive material to use. So like the state considers concrete in areas where it's necessary, high volume, heavy loading. Those types of situations, definitely concrete makes the most sense. However, in areas of low volume, low loading areas, it makes more sense to use AC, especially because those are the areas that we're going to see utilities under the roadway. If we have concrete in those areas, to cut it, to replace it, is a lot more expensive, and it's going to happen a lot more in unplanned times if we're considering utilities there. So considering the budget, when we start looking at our program to see what materials we're going to use, we need to consider how much money is available, what the needs are in totality, and what we can reasonably get to considering different options.
Okay, we do have a caller on the line, Anthony from Honolulu. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. I just want to add that, you know, in a major tourist destination like Hawaii, the government here doesn't take more pride in their infrastructure. You know, no matter what, we could talk about materials all day long. I'm living here 10 years, the worst roads I've ever driven on in my life. We don't even have winter. And places that have four seasons have far superior roads. And I'm going to tell you why I think, and a lot of my friends and a lot of people I know think that it is like this. You see, it's the government, it's the good old boys, it's the politicians making sure that their kids and their grandkids have food on the table. So they're always going to use an inferior product because it keeps everybody here working. If they put down great roads that will last for 10, 15, 20 years, what happens to the kids to eat? Where's the food? Where's the money for the families? Where's the local families? How are they getting their money? These are workers that need to work. They're keeping their families working, and that's the problem here. It's sort of stealing, but it's doing it in an acceptable way, the Hawaii way.
Okay,
all
right.
What do you think about that?
Thank you, Anthony. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely not. In general, the way the program used to work on the state highway side, when the federal funds came in, it was predicated on the federal legislation that funds us. The mandate was to build out your system. So if you look at the historically how the projects were developed, there are large capacity projects that increased the state system. That's all done now. When you look at the federal mandates that we have now, the legislation that funds our program, the $180 million that comes into us every year, now the mandate is preserve what you have. That's the first requirement of everything. So we've adjusted the program since 2015 to prioritize safety and preservation first. In the past, whereas large amounts of money went to larger projects first, now those funds are all going towards preservation projects first. It takes a while to make sure we start the system but push it forward correctly. We did 360 lane miles. We could have done more if we just paved it over and turned everything black. We wanted to make sure that we reconstructed the roadways that were developed in the 1960s to ensure that the base course that we put in is all relevant to today's loading, to ensure that we built the roads right. So we've already reconstructed Likelike Highway to make sure that it's going to last a long time. We took care of Kalani Anaole Highway to make sure that it goes through. We're going through with Pali Highway right now. H1 is done. Those large areas that carry large volumes through our system are being taken care of now. Nimitz is next. Nimitz and Ala Moana, that takes care of all of our freight movements, people going to work, going from the airport to our tourist destinations. That's all coming up next. And all because of the refocus of the program from building new roads to now taking care of what we have.
So the criticism that, oh, you're just protecting the asphalt companies?
Absolutely not.
If you're just joining the conversation, my guests are Ross Tassamura, City Director of the Department of Facilities Maintenance, and Ed Sniffen, Administrator for the State Department of Transportation's Highways Division. They're in studio to talk about Hawaii's roads and highways. Today's show is a rebroadcast, so no new live calls are being taken. If you have a comment, call our talkback line. Call 808-792-8217. We have another call on the line. Art from Makiki, what's on your mind?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
You know, these gentlemen have said they disagree with the rating that we're, what, the fifth worst in terms of road conditions. I'd like to know where they think we stand. Are we, like, the sixth worst, fourth worst? I was born and raised here, and I've been all over the U.S. and a number of foreign countries, and we have absolutely the worst roads I have seen in my lifetime. And I imagine third world countries have worse roads, but you know, we're supposed to be the United States. And I'm sure all these other places have similar problems, funding, weathering, etc. So I don't know if I buy into a conspiracy theory or maybe a competence theory.
Okay.
So that's what I have to say.
All right. Thank you, Art. Well, he poses a question. What ranking do you think we're at?
I'm not in a position to rank our roads nationally or even internationally, but I just had a curious question that I'd like to ask Art is whether or not there are some streets that he has some particular concerns over that we can maybe think about.
Are you still on the line there? Oh. Are there any other streets?
Like the Pali Highway is a good example. When I travel that, I try to stay in that concrete lane, because that's the smoothest lane, the ultra right. But the rest of it is terrible. And then on King Street, I try to use the bus lane because that's concrete. So there's something about what this professor says that rings true, because the rest of the asphalt roads are terrible. It's like literally some of it, like on Alakia between King and Queen. I feel like I'm on a roller coaster, literally. My car is rolling, rocking back and forth. I mean, every time I drive that, I think, what is happening here? And I don't know what's happening. It's damaging my car, I guess, in the long run. I'm going to have to put in shock sooner than I probably would need to normally.
Okay.
Yeah, so to speak to Pali Highway, that project is on the way. By 2021, it'll be fully reconstructed. We had that project ready to go in 2015, but we decided to hold it, because Likelike Highway had to be reconstructed at the same time. We knew that we could reconstruct Likelike a lot faster than Pali, so we elected to move that one forward first. We finished up the reconstruction of Likelike and kicked off Pali Highway last year. When we kicked it off, it was a good thing that we delayed it. We didn't know that the city had a project to put in a relief sewer in that Nuuanu area. So we combined the two projects. Those two projects will both be completed so that the resurfacing, the new lighting, the new median structures will all be done by 2021, as well as the city's relief sewer as well.
There is better coordination, I think, between the two departments, divisions, city and state. You know, when Board of Water Supply wants to do something, or Lori Kaikina's Environmental Services when they're doing the sewers, I think there's more dialogue now.
Absolutely.
Right, and we actually have a utility coordination meeting that we hold every month. On the third Wednesday of every month, we sit down with not only state agencies, but also the public utilities, as well as other interests that have roadway work to perform. And the purpose of that is just to prevent the frustrating situations where you have a newly reconstructed road that then gets excavated and cut into for some reason, and then destroying some of the pavement quality that people were looking forward to.
Mm-hmm. And those are for planned work. So in areas where there's some utility failures that require excavation of the roadway, even that coordination is better. So some of the reconstruction in the past may not have been to the quality that we as the road builders would like. Now that coordination is a lot better to make sure that it's constructed correctly and that it's not limited to just the trench. We resurface the whole area to ensure that there's a smooth ride.
And we do have another call on the line, Paul from Hamakua. You have a question?
Yeah, well, not a question. I'm sorry, not a question. But have I got an echo here?
Well,
not
I think.
Current.
Well, what's your question, or not your question, but your comment?
Sorry about that. I was in France last year, and I went to see the solar equipped road that they have for about think it's 70 kilometers. And that creates enough electricity with the roadbed to light two adjoining villages, or adjacent villages. And they're working very hard on that project. And since I live on the Big Island, it seems that this is something that the state should also be looking into very seriously. Plus the fact that the notice was that Waikiki is the economic engine of your island. Well, I think the state needs to realize that the volcano is the economic engine for our island and maybe even all of the outer islands. And the road conditions here in general on the Big Island, to use a really crude term, suck. And whenever I drive on it, I want to make sure I'm not driving on it at dusk or at night. Yeah, so there you go.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul.
You're welcome. Sure.
Ed? So, Paul, what areas are you talking about on the pavement?
The pavement, what you mean, for the solar?
No, for the solar. Oh, the solar portion.
The southern part of the island from Captain Cook down around to Naalehu. There's lots of areas that are unmarked, and there are no signs up about curbs coming, and it's just ridiculous. It's totally ridiculous. With tourists on the road, a lot of fit tourists, free and independent tourists, you've got a problem.
Got it. Okay.
Anything you want to say just about projects that you've got on the Big Island?
Yeah, so for all of the state, like I said before, the federal funds used to go all towards larger capacity projects. What the state has been doing in the throughout for all this time is taking care of the repaving through just our SMP, our special maintenance budget, which comes out to about $60 million statewide. That was all state funding that we put into work order contracts to go out statewide to reconstruct pavements. It was never enough, but it was limited based on what our budget was. What we did now was converted the federal funds that we get from going towards building new roads to pushing it all into our special maintenance now. And what we've done is opened up job order contracts to make sure that we can get out there faster for everything. We kicked it off last year. Big Island was the first one. So we just finished up two segments of our roadways of reconstruction. We haven't gotten down to the Captain Cook area, but I can get a schedule for that one. It's going to make sure that we get out to areas a lot faster and get them repaved and reconstructed quicker.
And this administration, the Trump administration, wants to put a lot of emphasis, I think, on our infrastructure. Where are we at with that?
So prior to the Trump administration, the FAST Act that funds our federal highways program that funds here and that we share with the counties requires that we hit maintenance reporting requirements to ensure that we qualify for federal funds. So that was the vehicle that requires us to put safety and preservation first. Trump administration's push for infrastructure is for us to, if we want to move forward and build new infrastructure, enter into public-private partnerships with others in the community to ensure that we maximize the federal dollars that come with it. So for us, we're not in the mode of building new capacity yet. We're still in the mode of ensuring that we take care of the system that we have first. So we haven't really delved into that area.
Okay. And then what's the snapshot for the city and plans to maybe put in concrete roads? I know up in my neighborhood on Wilhelmina Rise, you folks went in there and replaced all that because it's a very steep grade up the hill.
That's correct. So concrete is still a material that we would turn to where there are challenges or issues if we were to use asphalt pavements. If you look at places like Hotel Street or Kuhio Avenue in Waikiki, there are good portions of concrete pavements there, primarily because of the traffic that those roads sustain with buses and delivery trucks and other traffic that would make asphalt pavements not last quite as long. But there are situations that we really have to evaluate whether concrete is the proper material to use, primarily because of cost. So on average, the city spends roughly about $337,000 per lane mile of road. We've invested about $600 million in the first 6 years of mayor's term. And concrete roads are many times more the cost of asphalt. So we have to use those funds judiciously because we want to get the lane miles reconstructed and rehabilitated. And to the frustration that Art had about Alakea Street and King Street, Those are all streets that we still have to work on. In fact, our in-house crew provided some relief paving on Alakea Street just to address some of the worst areas from Queen Street all the way up to Barataria. This was maybe about a little over a year ago. But that work was temporary just to provide relief until the full reconstruction project can come in. One of the things that I'll have to say, though, is the timing of our projects are all based on the need, the severity of all of the problems that people have seen. But also we have to do that coordination that we talked about a little bit ago. And we do want to make sure that when we do the work will stay there in place so that people can enjoy the pavement for a good bit of time.
You mentioned Barataria Street. I know you folks were had a project there when you were resurfacing and came across some very shallow
utilities. Right. And so shallow utilities are things that we want to make sure we address before we come in with the full reconstruction package. And on Barataria Street specifically, it was scheduled for full depth reconstruction, which would have gone down several feet. But because some of the utilities were shallow and the utilities were not necessarily city and county utilities, we had to coordinate the work with other third parties to make the correction before the permanent work could be done. So the Barataria project was altered, scaled back a little bit to a mill and fill type of project, just providing a good drivable surface for people until the full depth work can be done.
So just resurfacing, not reconstruction.
That's correct.
If you're just joining us, our guests this hour are Ross Asamora, Department of Facilities Maintenance Director and Chief Engineer, and Ed Sniffen, Administrator for the State Department of Transportation's Highways Division. We continue our discussion about the state of our roads, and we now hear from Fred in Pearl City.
First comment, thank the governor, thank the mayor, thank both transportation directors. I think they're doing a great job taking care of roads right now. But I'm on the road almost 7 hours a day. Maui, Kauai, Big Island, beautiful roads. Come back to Honolulu. Hallelujah. I got to admit, now they're doing patch work on the eastbound, westbound from, I guess, Punch Bowl all the way up to maybe Kaimakee. I noticed, is that experimental that you're patching the cracks to maintain the asphalt?
Yeah.
Or is it something that is an ongoing thing? Number two, you're adding another lane eastbound, Pearl City to Aiea. I noticed you did one on the westbound, added another access lane, but that eastbound lane, I think it's going to be a great thing. I see the concrete slab patches that you did. Great job. Beautiful. Smooth. Access lane, fixed it. Beautiful. Great job. Why? When they put two lanes down at the same time, one lane deteriorates before the other one does. It's like, is it a quality thing where inspectors don't check the mud that they use to put everything together, or is it something that's just, I don't know, is it, what is it? Tell me. But hot-tailing underneath the freeway, the overpass, everything's good outside of that. As soon as you get under the bridge, when you take the off-ramp westbound, you get under the bridge, total potholes, everything. Why not continue on when you fix hot-tailing? Why stop under the bridge? That's the only thing I have.
We hear your pain. Okay, Ed, you're shaking your head.
So, Fred, thank you very much for the comments, and I appreciate it. I'm going to pass on the appreciation to our staff because I know they've been working very hard to make sure we start increasing the quality of our pavement on our system. First and foremost, the crack sealing that you're seeing on the highway, those black squiggly lines that you see through the areas, that's a preservation technique, one that Hawaii has never really used in the past. In the past, the way we preserved our pavement was to cut off an inch and a half off the top and put another inch and a half on top of that. We all know that if we don't correct the base, we don't correct the pavement. All we do is just paint it black and make it look good for another couple years. We're not into that. So we're looking at options to see how we can extend the life of the pavement. One of the biggest concerns that we have, like Ross brought up before, is groundwater or water getting into the pavement. Anytime there's cracks, water can get in. So we're trying to cut off that water to see how many more years we can get into the pavement to make sure that we have smooth route of pavement longer. The widening on H1 eastbound is going to be a tremendous thing. We know that we cannot wait for it. But there's portions we still have to do. So while we widen the, while we look at widening that whole area, we still have to widen the Pearl City Viaduct and the Waimalu Viaduct. But in the interim, while we corrected the pavement that we're doing out there right now, we widened the portions that we know we could. Those are going to be used as incident response areas until such time that we can open it up for through lanes, and we'll do it sooner rather than later. The deterioration of the pavement that you asked about, where one lane deteriorates faster than the other, if you look at the system itself, there's not equal base under everything. So you'll see in some areas that there's clay under the road rather than gravel. When you see that, that's going to lead to deterioration, and how much groundwater goes into it because of the drainage also matters. And the last thing on Hoftailing, the city did a project to pave Hoftailing, and in the past, we didn't coordinate as well. So what would happen is the city, when it gets to the state area, and anytime you see the state roads going over a roadway underneath, that is now a state area. Anything that's in that the airspace of our state roadway is under the state jurisdiction. Because we didn't coordinate well enough, the city would stop where they would hit the state area and not pave that. That doesn't happen anymore. If the state or the city is paving anything, if there's a state area or county area that needs to be corrected, we'll talk about it and we'll just get it done.
Today's show is a rebroadcast, so if you have a comment to share, email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. Okay, we have Nathaniel from Makiki. What's on your mind?
Aloha. I am bringing up a point that one of your panelists had brought up earlier regarding funding. Currently, most of the money that comes by both the federal and state level is brought up through the fuel tax, which is basically a cent per gallon tax attached to every single time we go to the pump. I was wondering if there were any alternative methods being put out there to potentially raise more funds that bring it up to closer to a road usage charge that's used in other states, such as Oregon. Even though that's a pilot program, it applies a cents per mile charge, so it's actually charging people who use the roads the most. So, long story short, is there a better way to fund our roads than we currently have right now?
So, I don't know about a better way, because the fuel tax is pretty elegant. People pay their tax in small chunks at a time and don't notice it. The system is already set up to collect it and get it to the agencies that expend it. So it's something that's pretty elegant and works pretty efficiently. But you're absolutely right. When we start looking at the gas tax itself, there's much more fuel-efficient cars. There's electric vehicles and hybrids on the road. So the amount of money that comes in from the fuel tax is either flat or declining, whereas the costs to improve the roadways that we have are always increasing. Totally agree with you that additional funding is needed. So for on the state side, we're working with the counties, and we're working with seven western states to look at a road usage charge format. That's not an easy conversion. Oregon has already pushed forward on their pilot. California is right behind them. Colorado is with us in that beginning study phase. The first phase of our study is going to be to kick out a fake bill to everyone, to let everybody know that if we had a road usage charge that we put out, at a cost that would keep us flat on the revenues that we get, this is what you would have paid last year. And you can compare it to your gas bill that you had paid at that time. In general, if your car gets about 22 miles per gallon or less, you would have paid less on the road usage charge. If your car gets 22 miles per gallon or more, you would have paid more on the road usage charge. In general, we're not trying to target anybody. All we're trying to do is make sure that it's a fair shake across the board. The more you use the road, like you said, the more you'll pay. Now, there's discussions on how you tie it into weight of the vehicle. The heavier your vehicle, the more damage you cause. Do we tie that in as well? Legislators had asked us, are we going to tie in any increases to it? At this time, we don't think we should, because it's going to confuse the issue. So, but those are all discussions we've got to have going forward. The study we have was funded by the federal government. They gave us $4.5 million to look at the study over a three-year period. After that, after we kick out this first phase of the study, we're going to be asking for volunteers to enter into a study that's going to allow you to pay based on your road usage charge rather than the gas tax. So it's in the works. We'll keep putting more information out on our website and to the public so we can keep everybody informed.
You think that'll happen, what, after the first of the year?
No, so I can get the schedule out to make sure that it's on our website. We can get send it to you. We have the whole schedule set up for the whole study.
Interesting. Anything else you want to chime in on this, Ross?
Not on this matter. I think one of the hard choices that a lot of people have to make is the thought of paying more taxes for things like road use that right now they're not paying for. So it's always a challenge, and one that when we go through the legislative process will require a great deal of conversation and hearings.
Yeah, I know when folks, get their slip in the mail about the vehicle registration and the weight tax, and they just like, oh, I'm paying so much and our roads are crappy.
Right.
That's the thing. If we, when you consider this road usage charge, how we ask people to pay it is going to matter. When you pay your gas bill, your gas tax, it's in small chunks at a time. If we said at the end of the year, you owe now X amount of money, be very difficult for people to resolve that. But people get more information on our study at our website at hiruc.org, so hiruc.org.
I know there's discussions, too, about toll roads. Yeah.
So we've never, from the state perspective, we've never pushed forward on the tolling side. First and foremost, we don't have tolling authority. Secondarily, in general, toll roads work in areas where there's high volumes of people who are going to use it. I don't know that we have that here. Definitely something we can consider as we look for additional funding, but not something we really push forward on hard.
Okay, and then let's go to callers on the line who are stacking up. Michelle from Kaneohe, are you still there?
I am still here.
Thank you for your patience. What's your question?
Okay, I have a couple of comments, actually. This last week we had some really heavy rain, and I work in the airport area, and I'm not exactly sure the name of this street, whether it's part of El Lele, but from Lagoon Drive, if you make a left-hand turn onto El Lele and just keep going until you come around to the right-hand curve to go under the viaduct, that part of the road actually looks pretty good. But the other day, after we had some heavy rain, a pothole opened up in the right-hand lane, and I'm like, seriously, all we need is one heavy rain and the roads start looking like Swiss cheese again. And where I live in Kaneohe, right on Cam Highway where it intersects Haiku Road next to Windward Mall, for a long time, it's really heavily trafficked there where you make a left-hand turn from Cam Highway onto Haiku Road. The road had deteriorated so badly that rebar was actually showing.
Ouch.
They finally did come, and I don't know who the they was, but I came home from work one evening, and it was fixed. So, yay, thank you very much. But I don't know what the fix is, but sometimes I feel like we're practicing insanity, that we keep doing the same thing with the same results. So I'm listening to this conversation and restraining myself from banging my head against my desk.
Okay.
With that, I'm going to go, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Ross, I don't know, is that your road?
It is. And so one of the things that I would thank Michelle for is just her patience and understanding through all of these frustrating encounters with terrible roads. But it is something that we are very much aware of, something that we're sensitive to. And just to go back and reiterate that the 2,000 lane miles that we did actually rehabilitate or reconstruct still leaves us with about 1,517 lane miles for us to go. So we've gone through about 60% of the roads. There's still a number of roads for us to continue working on. It is somewhat the definition of insanity. We have a pothole repair crew. And just want to remind all of the listeners that the City Pothole Repair Hotline phone number is 768-7777. And if you can call that every time you see a pothole and get frustrated, that will be something that we'll address and send our crews out to take care of. But it's something that we'll continue doing until we're able to actually reconstruct these roads. And at the time that we go through that, hopefully everything will get done. But in the area of Kaneohe, our crews did go through and provide some intermediate relief, some temporary relief to people that travel on Kamehameha Highway from Long Bridge out to Kahikili Highway. And that portion is under city jurisdiction. And we actually went through and provided some first aid, what we call first aid paving, just doing some minor mill and fill type of paving until the full reconstruction project can take place.
A quick reminder, today's show is a rebroadcast, so no new calls are being taken. Feel free to comment on our talkback line, 792-8217.
Okay, we have another line, another call on the line. Tom, you have a question.
Hi, this is Tom from Hickam Air Base. So I sat on city council in a small community in Texas, population about 120,000. We had roads, infrastructure, those other things we had to talk about. Well, I think what frustrates some of the residents of Honolulu is they get an idea that, you know, we're working on the roads, we have a plan to fix the roads, but then they don't necessarily where they stack up. And I know there's risk with putting that out as to, you just kind of mentioned you had so many roads done, you had so many roads to go. They will get upset that, you know, well, I'm number 10 on the list. They went through 9 in FY18, and they're going to do another 10 sets of neighborhoods in FY19, and so I should be number 1 on the list, where they don't realize that the city itself has to reevaluate continuously, you know, the roads in and around the area. So I think if you guys would do more to inform the community as a whole as to areas you're going to get to in FY19 and areas you're going to get to in FY20, I think it would make them feel more comfortable. There's always risk with that because you may have to change those depending on the traffic lanes and the traffic and the deterioration of other roads you didn't plan on. And I think it's a prelude to other things I think Honolulu will have to work on in the future, having said on community council, is, you know, the infrastructure, the sewage lines, the infrastructure, the water lines, and those kind of things, and how you're going to go forward and pay for it. Now, I've listened to your comments so far about the gas tax versus the usage tax. I think as a city, you ought to run with both at the same time for a while, and then make a informed decision whether you can get rid of one and vice the other. Because once you start relieving yourself of the gas tax, it's going to be hard to tell the community you're going to put it back on because you're not making enough money in the usage tax. That's just me. That's my comments. And the last thing I'd say for the community, wonderful Honolulu is a great place to live. It just takes money to keep the city up and running. And unfortunately, you know, to raise property taxes or other kind of taxes is just not welcome. But then again, it takes money to run a city. That's all I'll leave with. Thank you very much for you guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Appreciate the comments. Really, really appreciate the comments. You know, you're right. Information and getting more info out is really important. Not only in the prioritization that we set, but how we set it. So since 2016, we've been putting a lot more information on our website so the public understands the condition of the roadways that we have, the conditions of the bridges in the area, the volumes of traffic that goes through the area, the number of fatalities that we have in those areas, to ensure that everybody understands why we prioritize the way we do. And we're going to keep improving the information that we put out there to ensure that more people can put into it. We want to make sure that it makes it easier for people to comment back in. Right now, we ask everyone to call us. You know, Ross gave you the phone number for the potholes, and ours is 831-6700. And I should let the public know, we work very well together. You don't have to know if your road is a state road or a county road. Call either number. If it's a state jurisdiction and you called Ross, he'll let me know and we'll take care of it, and vice versa.
Thank you for that, because that wasn't always the case.
No, exactly. but we're trying to make it easier, too. So we're very soon going to be rolling out a crowdsourcing app that's going to allow people to take pictures of different areas with a GPS location. So all you got to do is send it into us. We'll catch it, we'll notice it, and we'll send it back to you within 24 hours to let you know when we're going to schedule out to go fix it. And that's going to be to capture all of the state.
And the city has an app, the 311 app, right? Because you can report potholes on that?
Yeah, right. We have the 311 app, but there's also some other information that may be useful to your listeners. And going back to Tom's comment regarding priorities, what I would like to remind everybody is on the city website at honolulu.gov, there actually is a road rehabilitation update that people can click on. And in there, you can actually look up your street. It's a listing by alphabetical order. And it'll tell you what the status is of any road repaving work that's either planned or under design for that particular street.
Today's show is a rebroadcast, so if you have a comment to share, email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org.
We have Keola from Kauai. What's on your mind?
You know, I mean, they got, I see the point. Kauai, we've got the worst roads. Our county roads is the worst. The shoulders is bad, and they take so long to upgrade the shoulders. I mean, you know, when you come around a turn, the grass is so high, you can't see the oncoming traffic until you make that turn. The grass is so high, besides the potholes.
I hear you. I mean, because I know roads here on Oahu, you know, we've got that situation. And maybe, Ross, you're probably the best one to talk about that. Maybe not Kauai, because that's not your county. But how do we deal with that, the safety issues?
Well, as far as safety is concerned, we really depend on the public to let us know where the concerns are. We're not at every location at every time, and certainly we don't have the amount of sensitivity that the communities have in dealing with certain streets that we may not go on unless there's a need for it. So it's important for everybody to communicate and let us know what's bothering them or what issues we can help resolve. And so whether it's potholes or it's view planes or it's sight distance, all of those things we want to hear about so we can help address them.
All right. So Kayla just needs to call the county or the state?
Just let us know which road. Kayla, can you tell me which roads you're talking about?
Most of the county roads, and the shoulders.
Okay.
Even the state shoulder roads, but... Yeah. We'll see county roads.
We'll talk story with the county. We'll address it.
Okay. We'll try and follow up for you. We also have another call coming in from Nathan on the North Shore. Hi, Nathan. Are you there?
Yes.
What's on your mind?
I have a question about the Cam Highway out on the North Shore, the only road in and out. It's really bad from basically Velzyland to Hala'iva. It was pretty bad also all the way to Kahuku side. And I noticed last year from La'ie to Velzyland, they paved everything and they stopped at Velzyland and did not do anything. The worst part is from Velzyland all the way to Hala'iva. And I just want to know how come they stopped there and only did the east side and didn't continue on through Hala'iva, which is probably the most popular area because of all the surf contests.
Okay.
It was because of funding. We had to wait for this year for additional funding to come in to start pushing it out again. So this year we're going to start kicking it off from Velzy through Hala'iva.
Okay, we have another line, another call from Hala'iva. Bill, you have a question?
Yeah, hi. I'll do this fast because I know you're just about ready to end the program. My comment is there's an area from Chun's Reef to Waimea Bay that was paved. They did a really good job, and then contractors came and tore up the road basically to do some water repair work. I think this was 8 years ago, and they did basically a terrible job at repaving. I've noticed this pretty much all over the island, especially Cam Highway. And why doesn't the state or whoever is in charge force these contractors to do a proper paving job? And I just wanted to say the Board of Water Supply, whoever is in charge of their stuff, they do a remarkable job, but a lot of these other contractors, they fix the place, and then it looks terrible, and then, you know, it doesn't last very long. So I just wonder what the policy is on that.
So you hit it on the head. There was no policy previously. The policy we instated was to ensure that if anybody comes into the highway right-of-way to do any kind of reconstruction, whether it's be Board of Water, HECO, HELCO, anybody else, when you come into the area, there's specific requirements you must fulfill. First and foremost, the type of structure that we rebuild up, and secondarily, to improve the pavement smoothness.
This has been a rebroadcast of a show on the state of Hawaii's roads. It originally aired in November. We'd like to thank our guests, Ed Sniffen, Administrator for the Highways Division for the State Department of Transportation, and Ross Sasamora, Director of the City's Department of Facility Maintenance. And we'd like to thank you, the listener, too. We weren't taking any new calls today, but if you have something to add to our discussion, you can contact our talkback line and leave your comments. That number, 808-792-8217. You can also email us at talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you want to listen back to the show, check out the conversation archive posted at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Catherine Cruz. Join us on Monday for more of The Conversation.